We change from this time to coming to worship to being in worship. And I would ask as we look at these words this morning that maybe we speak them together. Just as we have just shared our coming together and in greeting one another. You are far more talented than you give yourself credit for. Be faithful in what you have been given, and God will bless you with more. But be unfaithful in what you have been given, and God will take it away. May we who are asked to give an accounting of our talents be found faithful. Our opening prelude this morning is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, which the text for the hymn comes from the prayer of St. Francis. If while we hear the tune, if you would like to turn, it's your will, to page 481 in your hymnal, you will see the text of that prayer, and it will add context to what you're hearing. Let's stand and join in the call to worship. Is God not in Zion? Is there no ruler to lead us? Search for the Lord, for God waits where we least expect it. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healer to help us? Cry out to the Lord, for God hears our pleas. Is there no hope left to be found? Is there nowhere to turn? Place your trust in the Lord, whose compassion comes speedily to meet us. Come, worship the one who hears our pleas. We will enter God's gates in hope and gladness. And now let's join in the opening prayer. Elusive one, the scoffers say, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why do you tarry when your people need you? Why do you hide your face when our need is great? Speed your compassion to our side, for our souls have become wellsprings of sorrow, and our eyes have become rivers of tears. Help us, O God of our salvation, for in you alone do we find our strength to revive our souls. In you alone do we find nourishment to meet the needs for the journey. Come speedily to us once more, that we may see your glory and know where our true help lies. Amen. And now let's join in the opening hymn, number 605 in the United Methodist Hymnal, Wash, O God, Our Sons and Daughters.
As Christ blessed long ago, weave them garments bright and sparkling, compass them with love and light, fill, anoint them, send your spirit, holy dove and heart's delight. We who bring them long for nurture, by your milk may we be fed. Let us join your feast partaking, cup of blessing, living bread. God, renew us, guide our footsteps, free from sin and all its snares. One with Christ in living dying, by your Spirit, children heirs. Oh, how deep your holy wisdom, unimagined all your ways. To your name be glory, honor, with our lives we worship, praise. We, your people, stand before you, water washed and spirit born. By your grace our lives we offer, recreate us, God, transform.
Friends, you may be seated, and would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for a good, if not difficult, week. God, we know our hearts are full of many emotions. We know our souls long for your grace and your love and the love of each other. Lord, bless us, that we might know your voice and we might feel your presence. God, give peace and comfort to those who've lost loved ones. Lord, we all know how difficult it is. Lord, strengthen our hearts that we may reach out to them, that we may care for them as well. God, we give you thanks for new beginnings, for baptisms, for reminders that each new day the sun rises and that there is hope. God, fill our hearts with joy and hope that we might know that you are risen, that death does not get the final say, not in this life, not in the next. And Lord, remind us what it means to be your people, walking forward to learn every new day what it means to look more and more like you. Lord, help us in our failings and rejoice with us in our success. But above all, help us know that you are here with us and that we will never be abandoned. Through Christ our Lord, we lift all of these prayers. And all the people said, Amen. So friends, with the confidence of those who have been redeemed by Christ, I invite you to say with us the prayer that he has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Kids, come on up.
Thank you. this working?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I did it the first try, everybody. All right, so who can turn around and tell me what that is? Does anyone know?
A cross!
There is a cross on it, you're right. That is called the baptismal font. Can anyone say baptismal font? That's a big word.
Baptismal font.
Ooh, good job. Nice job, guys. So, when there's a baptism in church, like there is today, we bring out that font, and there's some special water on it. It's called holy water.
Right?
What? Right. And we sprinkle that on the person's head, and then they're baptized. Who knows what baptism is?
It's when we bless God.
You're right.
Oh
my gosh. So, that's right. So it's when you get blessed by God. And we have a baptism here today, which is very exciting. So, do you guys know what the congregation does during the baptism? Do they just sit down and watch and look at cute little kids? And is that what we do?
No.
Oh, I got some nods and I got some no's. We have some mixed feelings about it. No, so the congregation actually gets to make a promise as well. So the congregation makes a promise to help the parents raise the little kid or the person and help them grow in their faith. Isn't that cool? Do you guys get to be a part of that promise?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all get to make the promise, even kids. Isn't that really fun? Are you guys excited to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah? So, for you guys to have such a good seat during the baptism, if you would like, me and Miss Lori are going to be sitting up here in the front row. Do you guys see Miss Lori? Or we're going to be watching it over there. So if you guys would like to join us, you're more than welcome to. Should we get the show on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've never heard that one before, have you? Alrighty, let's pray, friends. That was a weird one, wasn't it? Alrighty. Hey, God. Thank you so much for bringing more people into our family. And please help us be the best helpers you could ever ask for. Amen.
It is time for baptism. So I'd invite the family and the godparents to come on up, and probably Evan should come up too, don't we think? But friends, as a quick reminder, or I don't know, it doesn't need to be super quick, but as a reminder, baptism is a sign of an outward sign of an inward grace that happens far before we were born. And in our tradition, we believe that God's grace surrounds all of us regardless. Regardless if we were baptized, regardless if we've gone through confirmation, that before those things, this is called prevenient grace, before those things, God loved us and continues to love us no matter what. So, this is the joy we need, friends. So, friends, like Addison said, this is not a spectator sport right now. This is a participatory act. So we're going to make some promises to each other. You are invited to make those promises as well. But let it be known that God is faithful and God is good. So, are we ready? Yeah? Okay. So friends, this is holy baptism. This is a moment where we reaffirm that God is good, that His grace surrounds us, that we are called to care for one another. And not only that, that our journey doesn't just start and end here, but it goes throughout our entire lives. And that each and every one in the community of faith, no matter where you are, where you end up, or where you've come from, that the love surrounds all of us. So, I'm going to ask a few questions. You're going to respond, yes, we do, or yes, I do. And then I'm going to ask you a few questions. And then we're going to dunk you, right, Evan? No, we're just going to sprinkle. friends ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do, would you say, we do? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, would you say, we do? And will you nurture Evan in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life, no matter where they end up in this world? If so, would you say, we do? Friends, it's your turn now. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include Evan now here before you in your care? With God's help, will you proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ? Will you surround Evan with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others? Will you pray for Evan that they may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life, no matter where they end up in this world? If so, would you say, we do?
We do.
You hear that? They care about you. So friends, as was said before, this water is holy water. It's set apart. It's an outward symbol of an inward grace. It reminds us that God loves us. Would you pray with me as we bless this water? Almighty God, bless this water that it may remind us of your love and your grace, so that your love and your grace may be with Evan and be with all of us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You ready? Come on up. Come on up. I'm going to come over here, though. You want to touch it? You want to feel the water? Go ahead. Stick your fingers in. Is it cold or warm? A little cold? Good. Evan Jacob Webster, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Can we pray a blessing over you? Is that okay? You're not sick? No. Hey, why don't we step back real quick, okay? All right. Evan, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May you know that you're loved. May you grow in faith and grace. May you be a shining example of what it means to be made in the image of God. May God be with you always. May your family be blessed and have everything they need to care for you. And may the community of faith reach out and care for you as well. Through Christ our Lord, we say, Amen. Amen. I'd like to welcome Evan Webster to the family of faith. High five. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks, friends. You can be seated. Friends, at this time, we have the Old Testament reading, and I'm reminded that Scott.
The Old Testament reading this morning is actually more or less a prayer of confession that comes from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 7. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And now the chancel choir will sing, Here I Am.
Thank you, choir. Friends, at this time, it's our moment of offering, which is a reminder that there are many ways that we help to build the kingdom of God and to help grace break forth into this world. The ushers will be passing plates. If you feel led to partner with us in that way, then thank you. If you feel led to partner with us in your prayers or your efforts or your talents or the work that you do out in this world, thank you as well. Because we know that helping this world to look like the kingdom of God takes many hands, and we all need to help in that effort. So, friends, above all else, thank you for the ways that you have already blessed one another in this church and in this community. And we pray that we can continue to do so. Thank you. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us. We thank you that you have been faithful, that you have provided in the midst of all things. God, what we offer today, we have already received from you. May it be a blessing to you and this church and this community. Lord, may your love and grace pour through us all over this world. May our hearts be changed so that the reflection of your face is in ours, that we may be a kind and gracious people. No matter how long it takes to get there, Lord, help us take one more step every day so that the world might know that there is hope, that there might be grace in our communities, and that all people may love one another. Lord, send your Spirit so that we might know that you are with us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We invite you to continue standing as we sing our next hymn, which can be found up on the screens or in your blue hymnal on 389. Thank you. You may be seated. Our gospel reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This is the gospel, according to John. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person. Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, we've been talking a little bit about what it means to grow in Christ. Again, you can call that anything you want. Growing in your faith, a discipleship pathway, a spiritual development. What it basically means is, how do we look more like Jesus every day we draw breath? And last week I talked a little bit about three components of those practices that we do. Do you remember what they were? It's okay if you don't. I know, sharp inhale of breath. The teacher's calling on you now, right? They are your head, your hands, in your heart, right? The ways that we study, the ways that we serve, and the ways that our hearts are filled with joy. Now, I don't have one up here, but imagine, if you will, eventually I'll build one, right, Sarah? There's so many things on my project list. Imagine, if you will, a stool, and that stool has three legs. What do you want to call each of these legs? There you go. The head leg and the heart leg and the hands leg. Now, there's this beautiful thing about three-legged stools. Do you know what it is? If you take one leg away, what happens? There's only two legs and it falls over, right? Unless you're sitting on it and balancing on it and trying not to fall over yourself. But the stool really only stays up if there's how many legs? Three of them. So today, and I struggled, right? I didn't know which one to talk about first, but we had a baptism, so perhaps we should talk about this thing right here that beats in our chest. The question I have for us today, friends, is how do our hearts grow? And how does that growth help us look more and more like Christ? How many of you have ever been to a place where your heart has just been filled to the brim with joy? I was about to say, I hope there's been someone in here, right? Where were those places? What were those experiences? Go ahead and just shout them out, if you will. You went to a Blues game. Hallelujah. What else? What else? What else? First grandchild. When the Cyclones beat the Hawkeyes. You know that hurts me, right? What else? Anything else? I remember when my children were born.
I'm told that that's becoming more common, but that wasn't always the case back in the day for the father to remember those times. But I remember when my children were born. With Nora, there's an image burned in my mind. We were on Army Post Road on the south side of Des Moines in this tiny little house. It couldn't have been more than 600 square feet for the two, soon to be three of us, and four if you count a big old German Shepherd, Great Pyrenees mix of a dog. But I remember waking up that morning, which was unusual, right? Because if you know anything about me, you know that my brain functions better at night. But I remember waking up in the morning, and Sarah had been having labor pains all through the night. So, of course, we didn't get any sleep at all. But I laid in bed, and I looked out the window, and I saw the sunrise. And it was pinks and golds and oranges and purples. And it was one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen, and it has filled my heart with joy. For Ben, I remember him coming out and being born, and I remember the nurse holding him up, and I looked at him. And I don't know if I've ever seen a baby body fat to muscle ratio. That kid looked jacked. It was incredible, right? I'm thinking, here we go. We've got a linebacker on our hands. Hallelujah. But I remember looking at him and just being in awe, my heart being full, thinking, this is another son. This is a son. This is someone who I have been blessed with and charged to care for. And Susan's was a little different. Susan's was a little different. I remember being terrified during the pregnancy, during the actual birth itself. I remember worrying, and that was a strange feeling for me in the midst of these pregnancies, that these births that we went through together. I mean, Sarah did most of the work, right? Yeah, I know. But I remember Susan entering into this world and just this relief wash over me, thinking, okay, we did it. We're good now. Those moments fill my heart. They help me see the beauty in life. I look back and I think, goodness gracious, why do I have any right to be so blessed with three kids who know how to act in public, but get them home, I tell you what. Friends, those moments, I think, point us to a deeper reality of what God is calling us to. Those moments help us see what life should be like, filled with love and with joy and with beauty, a life where God's blessings cover the whole face of the earth, that you can't throw a stone without hitting God's grace. The heart, friends, is where this all begins. Or at least it's where everything takes root. How many of you have ever got a wild hair on January 1st and you said, I'm going to make a resolution? No one? You're way smarter than I am. I always say I'm going to lose a little bit of weight this year. And you know what happens? The kids don't finish their food. You can't let a plate be full at the end of the meal, right? But here's the thing, right? And I'm sure, and maybe it's something you've learned too, that those resolutions, those things that we do, those ways that we wish to grow and be stronger or better or more kind or more successful or skilled or whatever, there's only a finite amount of energy and will that people have. And it's different between others. But if you go on strength alone, what happens? Eventually, that treadmill starts to collect dust or laundry, right? One of them. Eventually, you lose interest, or it doesn't seem like it's something that's worth it anymore. See, what I've learned is that when your heart has latched a hold of that thing that you're trying to do, when there's a love for it, when there's a desire for it, when your beating of your heart is in sync There's nothing that can stop you, is there? I think you've known that too in your lives, that the things you love the most tend to come the easiest. It's the same way in faith, friends. It's no different. When our hearts are in it, all of a sudden that being kind, that being gracious, that being loving, that being patient, all of those things that we might groan at when your parents said, "Could you just wait a little bit? I'm trying to make dinner." All of those things, all of a sudden, become much easier than we thought them to be before. So how do we do this? Because it's one thing to say, oh, just love it, right? How many of you have ever tried to love something that you didn't? Like sauerkraut. I love sauerkraut, by the way. Or beets, right? Or pickled hen's feet. I don't know, whatever, right? It's hard. It takes just as much effort and time, doesn't it, as maybe training a muscle or training your mind. But we have some practices in the church that help with that. Would you believe that? There's this thing called worship. Has anyone ever been there before? Right, to be with one another, I can't tell you how beautiful it is to hear voices fill a room singing hymns. Or to be with one another and know that there is love here in this place. How many of you have ever prayed before? I know, right? Those vending machine prayers. Lord, I just want a candy bar. Give it to me now, right? See, prayer is, it's slippery, friends. It's mysterious. It's strange. It's one of those things that we pray because God listens and God is with us in the moment. But also those prayers tend to do something. They tend to change our heart as well. I know I've offered some short prayers. Lord, help me. Amen. Right? Or, Lord, thank you. Amen. It's little things like that over and over, like water dripping on a stone. It starts to carve away the hard places of our hearts. And then eventually we find that we look like the prayers that we pray, which is a terrifying thing to think. Terrifying in the standing before God in awe-inspiring wonder way. Prayer, worship, friends, these are two of the easiest ways that we can train our hearts to look more and more like Christ. But the question still remains, why? Why? I've had a couple experiences over this last week. At least for me, they've helped shed light on that question a little bit. There were two beloved members in this church who have gone on to rest. They've passed away. And what's fascinated me is that, you know, I've done a lot of funerals, and every single one is different. But what's fascinated me is these were a couple where I got to hear how they were when they passed. Friends, when I look at my heart, when I look at the ways that I want to go through life, I want to be like these people. I want to know where I'm going and I want to be at peace. I want to be ready when my day comes. And not only that, I want to live life full of joy here and now. I want my heart to be so full that there's nothing on my lips other than thank yous. Friends, this is why. This is why the heart is so important. This is why we pray. This is why we worship. This is why we sit and wonder and meditate on the impossible nature of God. Because I know in those moments that there was grace that was possible that I had barely hoped for, more than I could have imagined. Friends, this is why we train our hearts, so that the love of Christ can be with us throughout our entire lives, not just at baptism, not just at confirmation, not just when you get married, not just at the end with our final breaths, but that we might know the love of God through all things. So friends, may your three-legged stool, if you can still imagine it, may that leg with prayer on it be sturdy. May your hearts be transformed. Because at the end of all things, and even in the here and now, a heart that beats in time with the heart of God, friends, that's a life worth living. Amen? Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, your ways are mysterious, barely knowable, and yet you have revealed yourself to us. You have called us. You have washed us. You have made us clean and strong. God, as we continue to walk through this life, through our journeys, may our hearts be filled with your love. May they be fountains of grace. Lord, may we be blessed at the end of it to say, "It is well with my soul, and I am at peace." Because, Lord, I know, at least for me, there's something to be admired in that. So, Lord, bless us that our hearts might beat in time with yours, so that your grace and your love and your light might shine forth from our faces, and that our communities might be blessed because of it. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, we invite you to stand as you're able and join us in our final hymn. You can find it in your blue hymnal on page 400 or up on the screens. Wonderful. 400. You can do that, did you know? You can take other songs and put them to other tunes. Come, thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, mount of God's redeemed.
Friends, thank you. I invite you to receive the final blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and give you peace. Friends, go. May your hearts be filled with joy. May each moment that you find ignite another fire so that grace and love blazes from you. Know that God goes with you. Know that there is peace. Know that your hearts will beat in time with God's heart until all things are made well. The face of the earth is renewed, and we might see the Lord and each other face to face. Go with God, and God will go with you now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, go and rest today. Enjoy your Sabbath. Our service has ended.